Greetings in Christ's name, and a blessing to be together looking into God's Word. I've enjoyed very much the things that we looked at. Interesting to me to see how everything blends together. Appreciate very much Conrad's devotions this morning. Thought it laid some groundwork to some of my thoughts. I'll admit, my thoughts are kind of, they feel scattered this morning with everything that's been going on the last couple days. I'm thinking about sharing this morning. I ask an interest in your prayers. We would be open to God's direction as we continue to look into His Word. So yeah, I've been really blessed by the thoughts that have been given, of course, and mind's a lot on the message, and so I see those connections, and you'll probably see some of those connections as we continue on here. This morning I would like for us to think about a number of questions to start out with. First of all, do I, let's make it personal, do I understand the realness, or how real it is to walk with God? Do I understand how real it is to be a Christian? Questions are basically alike there. Do you believe in the Word of God? Do you? Do you really believe in the Word of God? Do you believe that God means what He says? Have you ever pondered those questions? I have. I have thought about those questions. As a young person, as a little older person, I think about those things from time to time. Well, today, we must decide. You and I decide personally. We personally must answer those questions. So, in thinking about these questions, I've entitled the message, Christian Realism. This morning, I desire the Holy Spirit's direction. I've jotted down a lot of thoughts, and I hope to somehow bring all of these things together. I probably won't be able to share them all, but turn with me, first of all, to Genesis chapter 3 for some beginning verses. Genesis chapter 3, I'd like to read the first 7 verses here. We have man's failure, the temptation and the fall. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So question. Verse 2, And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. The scene we have here is in the beginning, where man was making choices. Man was forced to decide whether he believed that God really meant what he said. The phrase that we have in verse 1 says, Yea, hath God said. This has been said or questioned all through time. And guess what? It's still being said today. Possibly we find ourselves questioning it in that way as well. Really? Does God mean it that way? Are you serious? Does God mean it that way? Is there really that clear of a line between right and wrong? Is God's word real? Possibly we may ask, is God for real? Is God himself who he says he is? Do we find ourselves ever asking these questions? We must answer these questions. We have an eternal soul. This morning we must have a relationship with God that is real. And that's the burden of my heart in this, my thoughts in this message this morning, that we must have our relationship with God must be real. It must be genuine. God's word is real. We must believe that. And we must believe that it really does mean what it says. If we do not believe that, then we will find ourselves right where Adam and Eve did. We find ourselves just where so many people do today, and that is apart from God. Away from the presence of God. It is happening all about us today, and guess what? It's not Adam and Eve's fault. It is that man continues to make the same choice that Adam and Eve did back there. Really? Is it that serious? Really? Is it that real? We've been bombarded with these questions from a couple of different angles. The world is so, well, the world is desperate to try and smooth over and sort of, I don't know, detach, as it were, realism from life. It's happening in a lot of ways. Things that God allowed man to create, things that are being used. Many of these things are being used to put man outside of that which is, well, that which is real, to detach from that which is real. What is just the simple, real facts about the message of the gospel? Trying to detach what is real from, well, all of these things, from life, from the choices we make and how it affects our families. So we need to understand and we need to consider, is my relationship with God real? Guess what? It will be tested. It will be tried. We face that. We don't have to be very old to come to understand or to realize that. It will be tested. It will be tried. Well, that's one angle that the questions come from. We can also find ourselves being attacked from another angle. Sometimes those of us raised in Christian homes or in Mennonite families, if you please, we've grown up knowing about God. It's been kind of fed to us. And we think we have somewhat grown into an understanding of God, or we at least think so. But is it really real to us who God is? Do we really understand that? Does what we have been taught and told all our lives really affect my life? Is it making a difference? So this question about whether or not God is real and whether a relationship with God can be real can come from different ways. Sometimes one is just as subtle as the other. Yes, we know that there are tremendous advantages to being raised in a Christian home. It's not hard to see that. We are not undermining that at all. But finally, our relationship with God must be real if we want to come out at the right place. And that is, again, that is the burden of my heart in this message, that do I truly understand what it is to be washed and to be free? Do I know what that is? Let's turn now over to Hebrews 11. We'll be spending some time here at least referring to some things here. I don't know just how much we'll specifically be reading here. We will some. This morning we can hardly talk about Christian realism without talking about faith. There are many places in Scripture where it talks about faith. And here in Hebrews 11 we find some very clear teaching on what faith really is. Faith is finally what makes it real. Faith is the very foundation of a real walk with God. The very foundation of that realism that can take place in our lives. We'll not read this whole chapter, but simply go through and read some verses, pick out a number of things from them. But verse 1 says this: "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." We have those two words, not seen. That not seen is something that is tripping many people today. You hear the thought sometimes, well, if you can't see it, it must not be real. It can't be real. Well, this morning, faith is the key of making it real within my life. It is the evidence. It is what makes it truly take place in our hearts so that we can actually see it. The evidence of things not seen, the things which are seen, they appear. It talks about that in verse 3, but it says that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That is the spiritual aspect of our Christian lives. It's a fact. We might as well accept it. We will never, I don't want to say this, we will never begin to be able to get a hold of our Christian life in a sensual way. If we are going to understand God, we cannot understand God in that way. And what I'm talking about the senses, as in the five senses, touch, feel, those things. That is not how God is real to us. It's not because I reached out to God, and so, or it's not because I reached out and touched God and felt Him, and oh yes, He's real. It's not that way. We can look at the Word of God, the Bible. We did not see the men, these men agonizing over what they were writing and being moved by the Holy Spirit. We didn't see that. We simply accept it. We simply accept that is what the Bible says. That is faith. And faith is what makes these things real to us. It's not like we can see it with our senses. That is not the way it works. It may be said, well, how does that make sense? Again, it's not sensual. It does not make sense in the sense that we can touch it and feel it and all those things. These people that it mentions here in Hebrews 11, they could see. Not because they could see physically, but they were looking through the eyes of faith. Verse 4 says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." Abel's dead. He's gone. But because of his life, because of the way he responded to God, he yet speaketh. He yet speaketh to you and I today. Abel, through faith, was obedient to God. Because of that, his life and his testimony go on. His testimony is real. Verse 5, "By faith Enoch." Enoch did not see death. He was translated. He pleased God and God used him. Verse 7, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet." There was no picture. There was no plan. There was nothing that he could look forward to and, you know, out there somewhere and say, yes, I know it's going to rain. I know it's going to be this way. And so because of that, I'm going to build this big boat. There was nothing along that line at all. He could simply see it through the eyes of faith. His relationship with God had brought that about. He could see it through the eyes of faith. God said it. And he meant it, and it was going to happen. Verse 8, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed." And what does it say? "And he went out not knowing whither he went." Abraham went out. I'm quite sure that Abraham did not have some, what do you call them, those topographical maps to see where he was going. He couldn't just punch the address into the GPS and hit go, and here we go. He didn't have diagrams or pictures of all the land he was going to claim. He didn't even have a real estate agent to go to him or to go to and find out, well, where is it good farming land? Where do we have good grazing land for all my sheep? He didn't have that. There was none of that, not even a satellite picture. You know, it seems like so many of these things that are so nice, we like them. I use them. But it seems like so many of these things that are so nice and handy, we get them and use them. Do we find ourselves, not even realizing it, but do we find ourselves getting detached somewhat from that which is real? I don't know. Think about that. Seems that way. God told him to go. Abraham went out. God told him to go, and he went. He went. And because of that, he was blessed. How many of us would do that today, as Abraham did? How many of us would get into the wheelbarrow and allow God to push us out there? I hope we're not being pushed, but that thought just come to me now. But he went. Abraham went out. He could see. It was real to him. He could see it again through the eyes of faith. That is where our relationship with God needs to be and must be today. We should not have to have, as it were, some plan. I'm not promoting being reckless and haphazard in our planning and all that. But we should not have to have, as it were, some plan to obey God. In order to obey God, we must be willing to go. We must be willing to do what God says, no matter what, because God said it. It's real. When God says it in his word, there should be no, yea, hath God said. There is no trying to smooth it over. There is no trying to water down God's word. It is simply the way it is, and we accept it for what it is. That's been a real challenge to me as I've thought about that. Not because we can see it. Not because it maybe makes sense. Not because it's nice and the cool thing to do. It's because we have the eyes of faith. That is how it's real to us. Verse 11, through faith also, moving on, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Through faith, Sarah. We know how Sarah laughed. And we may wonder how God could continue to use her. But he did, because she was willing to go forward. She gave birth to a child when she didn't see how there was any way possible. Verse 20, Isaac blessed concerning things to come. It was not things that he could see right there taking form. That was not the case, but it was because God told him to do it. And it was of things still in the future. Verse 21, by faith Jacob. Verse 22, by faith Joseph. Verse 23, by faith Moses. All of these men did what they were told to do, not because they knew or could see the outcome of it. Moses didn't see what all would happen when he started on this mission of taking the children of Israel out of Egypt. Joseph didn't see any good in being imprisoned for years and years. He couldn't see that except through the eyes of faith. His relationship with God was so real. He was not going to try to compromise and water down and take realism out of his relationship with God. He simply was going to obey because God said it. God said this is what he should do. This is the way it is. Verse 31 talks about Rahab. She reached out in faith. You know, she could have gotten in trouble for what she did. She did not know that she was in God's will by doing what she did. God blessed her because she was willing to do it. Verse 32 mentions others. Gideon. We heard about that this morning. Connor talked about that. Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets. They were willing to stand and do what God told them to do. The situations more than likely that they faced looked quite hopeless to these individuals. They may have, but God said, move ahead. And they did it, and they were blessed because of it. That is how we can find That is how we can feel sometimes in our lives. The situation may look hopeless to us. Do you ever find yourself at that point? I do. Facing situations at times, and it looks hopeless. What is the way forward? How do we get through this? But finally, when God says it, we do it. Finally, we must step out in faith and allow it. As we do that, it will become real to us. All these individuals that it mentions here in Hebrews 11, they were simply looking forward to the promise that God had said was there. The promise was real to them. Verse 39 says, "And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise." They knew of a promise that was out ahead. They knew of a promise that was out there, but they did not receive it themselves. They were simply doing what God called them to do, and they were blessed because of it. How did these individuals end up in the faith chapter? Well, I don't think it was through technology. It wasn't through computers. It was not through a lot of Bible study helps. It was finally down to what God told them to do, doing what God told them to do, because they believed it. It was real to them that God meant what he said. Another point I would like for us to consider this morning is one of the things that we are going to need to understand if we want to understand what Christian realism is, we're going to need to understand what part emotions take in our lives. This is an area where it seems like the devil is being very effective in making black and white areas look gray. Getting our emotions involved. The Bible talks about this. With a walk with God that is real, will come an experience. There will be emotions. That's a fact. There will be. There will be things that flow out of our lives, and it will cause emotions. It will cause emotion in our lives. A Christian that is truly understanding that God is real will have that in his life. Let's turn to 1 Peter 1. First Peter 1. So often today, the thought is that experiencing emotion is what will make the Christian walk real. Let's read here. First Peter 1, verses 7 and 8. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. It is absolutely switched around. Experience and emotion is not what makes the Christian life real. What makes the Christian life real is faith. Ye see him, yet believing ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice. You don't see him, yet you believe. And then, yet you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, simple faith in believing that Jesus is who he said he is. And then because of our walk with God and because of our relationship with him, we will experience joy and we will experience that emotion of joy. Sometimes joy is more than an emotion. Sometimes it's a choice, but joy can be an emotion. It will be expressed in an emotional way at times, but we cannot expect that emotion alone will make our Christian life real. That is not the case. Emotion can actually take out, and it can take away. When it becomes emotionalism, it takes out the realism of walking with God. I'll repeat that. When our emotion becomes emotionalism, it takes out the realism of walking with God. Many times. Now where's the balance? There is a balance in this. I was thinking about this, trying to find direction of what is a balance. And I'm not sure that I totally understand how all of this works. But I could not think of any scripture where it would in any way put it the other way around, where emotion brings about a relationship. Instead, relationship always produces the emotion. I'm open to others' thoughts on this, but it seems like that is the way Scripture brings it out. Welcome your thoughts on that. Another point I want to look at. Well, first of all, maybe just a little bit more on this. 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3, I'd like to read verses 18 to 21. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Just a little bit more on emotions here. We can sometimes become under a cloud of negative emotions as well. That as well will not produce what is truly real in the Christian life. God is saying here, I will put in your heart what is real. If your heart condemns you, how does it say that? I'm greater than your heart because I am real. God is saying that is the way it is. What is real? If you have a relationship with me, if your heart is clear before me and it still condemns me, your heart is not real. I am for real. What I'm trying to bring out is this. Emotions can take us either direction. Sometimes emotions can take us onto a high that is not real. And sometimes it can take us into a low that is not real either. Finally, God needs to show us what is real, and we cannot let our emotions do that. All right, another point I want to look at yet. God uses circumstances to bring us to reality at times. I'm sure we all agree with that. You know, there is a reason why when someone is in a life or death situation that all of a sudden everything that is important comes flooding before their mind. His relationship with God is usually number one. It usually comes to focus real quickly. His relationship with his family and friends are usually there as well. And there's a reason why this is happening. It is because these circumstances remind us of really what is real in life. Too often we get out of touch with what really matters in life, what really is important. God uses circumstances to bring us back to reality, to that which is real. Sometimes he gently nudges us through common everyday circumstances that we don't really realize, you know, maybe what he's doing. Sometimes he needs to remind us in a bigger way, and we probably, the older ones at least, we probably can think of situations where that has taken place. Sometimes he needs to remind us in bigger ways. God does that. I thought of Peter walking on the water. It seems like his faith was real. He stepped out on the water. That took faith to do that. He stepped out, but then he began to focus on the things about him, the waves. Can we picture ourselves in this scene? Peter began to sink, and that is when reality struck him full force. You know, if I'm going to get on top of this, if I don't get on top of this, then I'm going to drown. That was a reality right there in Peter's life. Too often in our Christian lives today, we get to focusing on things around us, and guess what? We begin to sink. We begin to go down. Too often it is until we are just about drowned out that we are reminded where am I at? What am I doing here? Why is that? Could it be that it is because far too often we are out of touch with really what is real, with what God really is? You know, it can look like our faith is real, like Peter, where he stepped out. Everything seemed right. We can make application to us being called to do something. Maybe it's to move. Maybe it's to teach school. Maybe it's some job. There are a lot of things we can put in there. It is a step of faith, and it is what we are called to do. It's right that we step out in faith. But are we going to allow the circumstances that surround our lives and the things that God is trying to use to speak to us? Or are we allowing these things to take us down, discourage us, draw us away from God? That is what was happening with Peter out there on the water. He was simply leaving the presence of Christ. We too can find ourselves in that situation at times. We need the hand of Christ to grab a hold of, to raise us up, bring us back to reality. God is faithful in that. God is faithful in reminding us of what is real and letting reality hit home, hit hard sometimes. We need those reminders. I do. It seems like I forget. We forget at times. We get out of touch with what is real. So how can my Christian walk be more real? How can we know that our walk with God is real? I believe it comes down to the question of love. Jesus put that question to Peter over and over again. Lovest thou me? Peter, lovest thou me? What was Peter's response? I do. Yes, absolutely I love you. Well, is it real? Jesus, in bringing this to Peter again and again, I believe was trying to help help Peter to think about the realism of that love. Is it for real? Peter's love was tested. And it seems like Jesus was possibly, I don't know, doing a preliminary test, as it were. Peter was later on tested in a way where he had to do more than just to say. He had to do more than just say that he loved God. He had to do the fact that he loved God. Again, whether or not our walk with God is real is a test of love. A couple of closing thoughts. Christian reality or Christian realism makes our testimony ring true. This is something that we must understand. We can try to have a testimony for the Lord, but if there is not a reality of where our heart is with God, if there is not a reality of a relationship with God, it simply will not ring clear. It simply will not. Jesus so clearly put the Pharisees in their place. They go there. They talk about it. They pray. They look right. They do it on the street corners. It has the right look to it. But there is something about it that is not right. Well, Jesus said they will have their reward. Something that is real. Jesus said it cannot be hid. It simply cannot be hid. If it is real, it will be seen. We will be able to tell. It is not something that we are trying to put on. That's so often we see that, where individuals are trying to fake it out, make it appear like it is real. It's not something that we are trying to put on. If we have to try to make it shine or try to set up on a housetop so that we can be seen, guess what? It will never ring clear. But it is something that simply cannot be hid, because it is a result of a relationship with God that is real. We don't have to be out there promoting it. But if we have a relationship with God, it will be obvious that it is real. We can also know that someday heaven will be real to us. We are looking forward to being in heaven, where it will be what God says it is. Finally, we can know when we get there. Finally, we can know and see and understand that God really is who he says he is. Let's kneel for prayer.